Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Times for September 19th, 2024. Diamondback Energy backs program to keep 10 miles of area roadway clean. A local leading independent oil and natural gas company has announced it will sponsor 10 miles of highway in the area through the Texas Sponsor a Highway program. According to a news release, Diamondback Energy has partnered with the program to back efforts that will aid professionally trained cleaning crews who will remove trash with Diamondback Energy sponsored segments on a regular basis. The company hopes the sponsorship will keep roadways around the city clean and attractive, boosting community pride and enhancing the overall driving experience. Outside of keeping the natural beauty of the area clean, Diamondback Energy can also expect to receive brand awareness from the initiative. The company is expected to garner over 648,000 impressions daily from its sponsorship, which is anticipated to raise their profile of goodwill within the community. At Diamondback Energy, we are committed to the well-being of our community, said Mark Dingler, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at Diamondback Energy. Our partnership with the Texas Sponsor a Highway program reflects our commitment to giving back to the community and ensuring our roads are a source of pride for everyone. Find this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org. Live stream. Raylana's Midland event sets record with donations to foster families, First Baptist Crisis Center. A record amount of items, including clothing, shoes, and toys, was donated to foster families and the First Baptist Crisis Center at Raylana's Children's Consignment Resale event on September 6th. The event was held at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena. Raylana's is proud to donate to area foster families and First Baptist Crisis Center because we know we are truly helping our community, said Natalie Nolan, owner of Raylana's Midland Odessa franchise. The First Baptist Crisis Center has been a vital resource for the Midland community since 1982. It offers essential services to individuals and families facing financial hardship. The center primarily focuses on providing food and clothing. According to Michelle Martinez, executive director of the First Baptist Crisis Center, donations this year far exceeded years past. She said the center is so thankful to the consignment families for donating and supporting the center's mission. Foster families in the region, particularly those from smaller West Texas towns, benefit from the contributions. Raylana's allows foster families to come in after the final sale and shop for necessities. The influx of shoppers from surrounding communities indicates that the event is helpful for many families beyond the local area. A large portion of our shoppers are from outside of Midland and Odessa looking for bargains and to help during this inflation surge, said Nolan. More information about Raylana's can be found at https://midlandodessa.raylana.com. The team at Teen Flow Youth Ministry shapes Midland's youth, by Kim De La Pena, September 18, 2024. Jana Clark has spent the last 3 years serving as executive director at Teen Flow Youth Ministry, located at 711 South Main Street in Midland, Texas. In her role, she manages daily operations, oversees staff and volunteers, and helps shape the lives of countless teenagers by providing them with structure, faith-based learning, and support. Clark joined Teen Flow in the fall of 2021, shortly after the disruptions caused by COVID-19. She took on the challenge of restoring structure for students and implemented systems that emphasized accountability and tough love. Her responsibilities include leading a team of 5 full-time employees, 4 part-time workers, and a network of volunteers. Together, they provide mentorship, transportation, and kitchen services. Teens crave structure more than we realize, Clark said. When mentors hold the line with wisdom, firmness, and gentleness, students feel loved and come back for more. That is what they ultimately desire, God's love. Under Clark's leadership, Teen Flow has continued its mission to create a space where the gospel is the foundation for developing godly, productive lives. Clark's passion for serving others began before her work at Teen Flow. She spent 15 years working with underserved populations, including as a primary chaplain at Union Gospel Mission's Center of Hope in Dallas. Growing up as a pastor's child, her upbringing emphasized outreach, and she witnessed firsthand how her parents, Pastor Calvin and Clark of Denton Bible Church modeled discipleship in inner-city communities, according to Clark during an interview with Midland Times. Her dedication to mentoring youth aligns with Teen Flow's mission to guide teens toward leadership, regardless of their background or struggles. "It's all about the teens," Clark says, noting that this shared purpose keeps her motivated. Midland College helping United Way with food drive by Midland Times, September 19, 2024. The United Way of Midland's Week of Caring food drive will be supported by Midland College, MC, this year. According to an MC news release, the drive plays an important role in assisting small local food pantries with donation requests. The food drive, which helps area food pantries, is distributing nutritious snacks during the Week of Caring food drive that ends on September 20th. Those interested in helping can place their items in donation bins located near the Scarborough Student Center, the Cowden Dining Hall, and at MC in the Human Resource Office, according to a news release. Among the most requested items are peanut butter, canned vegetables, canned soup, canned fruit, canned meat, cooking oils, beans, pasta, oats, and juice. Participation in the food drive is a critical component to helping the region's food drive receive food. Aside from aiding the Midland College food pantry, other organizations that benefit include Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, Casa de Amigos, Faith Temple Church, First Christian Church, Jubilee Center of Midland, Martin County Food Pantry, and One Hope Church of Christ. ECISD earns A for college, career, and military readiness. By staff report, Ector County ISD, ECISD, scored an A in college, career, and military readiness, CCMR, with 88%, a 15-point increase over last year, and 12 points exceeding the score for the state of Texas. The CCMR measure helps ensure Texas students are prepared for life post-graduation from high school. The scores are given to every high school and school district, consisting of a large percentage of the school's TEA accountability rating, according to the ECISD. The ECISD's latest CCMR score continues the school district's annual rise since 2020 from 58% to 63%, to 65%, to 73%, and currently 88%. ECISD Interim Superintendent Dr. Keeley Boyer said that improving the CCMR score is a goal of the school board and is also a priority for the district. "A lot of people have worked tirelessly to make sure we are tracking students as early as ninth grade to keep them on pace to earn their CCMR credit." Find this story for blind and low vision adults at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org/livestream. Midland ISD announces name, mascot for new elementary school. By staff report, welcome to the Lone Star Trails Elementary Armadillos. Midland ISD has announced the name and mascot for the new elementary school that is being built in the Lone Star Trails area, courtesy of the passage of the 2023 Midland ISD bond. Lone Star Trails Elementary and Armadillos were selected as the school name and mascot following community engagement and a district process that included a committee. The school's colors will be red, white, and blue. The 92,500-square-foot school is on track to open in August 2025 and will initially serve pre-K through 6th grade. Upon grade configuration in 2028, the school will serve pre-K through 5th grade. Morgan Robertson, principal of Lone Star Trails Elementary, called being principal at Midland ISD's 40th campus surreal. "This monumental event of opening a new school does not happen often, and getting to be a part of it from the ground up has been an amazing experience," Robertson said in a statement. "I look forward to learning more throughout the year and ensuring Lone Star Trails Elementary and our families have a wonderful opening of school in August of 2025. Pecos announces third annual 5K Pink Fun Run. By staff report, the town of Pecos City will hold its third annual 5K Pink Fun Run in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month on Saturday, October 26th at Cyclone Ballparks, beginning at 9 a.m. The run brings the community together to raise awareness for breast cancer and to support affected families. All funds raised from this year's event will be donated to the Pecos Area Cancer Foundation, which provides essential services such as physical, relational, educational, financial, and psychological support. You can walk, jog, or run the 5K course. The registration fee is $20 for adults and $5 for children and includes a swag bag and an event t-shirt. Eunice High Bull Rider represents Team USA in Australia. By staff report, the Hobbs News Sun recently reported on an impressive senior at Eunice High School who recently competed and performed well as a junior bull rider for Team USA in Australia. Tyson Acosta was only 3 years old when he first tried to ride a beast competitively and stay on it, the News Sun's Peter Stein writes in his interesting profile. The competition in Australia marked Tyson's first ever flight or trip out of the country, Stein reports. It was long. It was a long trip, Tyson said. During the trip, he placed fourth in the junior bull riding competition at the Southern Hemisphere's largest rodeo in Mount Isa. According to the News Sun, Tyson's advice for other young competitors, just practice hard and don't let go.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, September 19th. Signing event. Medical Center Hospital is hosting a hiring signing celebration event with two Ector County ISD 2024 graduates and one Monahans Wicket Paiute ISD 2024 graduate at noon, September 19th. The event will take place at Medical Center Hospital, 500 West 4th Street, in the right lobby of Main Admitting. Please join us as we celebrate the success of our students who completed their Texas Certified Nursing Assistant certification in May and have completed the hiring process and are now a part of the medical professional team at MCH. We are excited about growing our own workforce right here in Odessa, a district news release said. Last week, ECISD received an award from the Mexican American School Board Association, MASBA, for Outstanding Workforce Development Initiative involving this collaboration between the school district and local employers. Federal Reserve cuts key rate by sizable half point, signaling into its inflation fight. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday cut its benchmark interest rate by an unusually large half point, a dramatic shift after more than 2 years of high rates that helped tame inflation but also made borrowing painfully expensive for American consumers. The rate cut, the Fed's first in more than 4 years, reflects its new focus on bolstering the job market, which has shown clear signs of slowing. Coming just weeks before the presidential election, the Fed's move also has the potential to scramble the economic landscape, just as Americans prepare to vote. The central bank's action lowered its key rate by roughly 4.8%, down from a two-decade high of 5.3%, where it stood for 14 months as it struggled to curb the worst inflation streak in four decades. Inflation has tumbled from a peak of 9.1% in mid-2022 to a three-year low of 2.5% in August, not far above the Fed's 2% target. The Fed's policymakers also signaled that they expect to cut their key rate by an additional half point in their final two meetings this year, in November and December, and they envision four more rate cuts in 2025 and two in 2026. In a statement, the Fed came closer than it has before to declaring victory over inflation. It said it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving substantially toward 2%. Though the central bank now believes inflation is largely defeated, many Americans remain upset with still high prices for groceries, gas, rent, and other necessities. Former President Donald Trump blames the Biden-Harris administration for sparking an inflationary surge. Vice President Kamala Harris, in turn, has charged that Trump's promise to slap tariffs on all imports would raise prices for consumers even further. Rate cuts by the Fed should, over time, lower borrowing costs for mortgages, auto loans, and credit cards, boosting Americans' finances and supporting more spending and growth, homeowners will be able to refinance mortgages at lower rates, saving on monthly payments, and even shift credit card debt to lower-cost personal loans or home equity lines. Businesses may also borrow and invest more. Average mortgage rates have already dropped to an 18-month low of 6.2%, according to Freddie Mac, spurring a jump in demand for refinancing. In an updated set of projections, the Fed's policymakers now collectively envision a faster drop in inflation than they did 3 months ago, but also higher unemployment. They foresee their preferred inflation gauge falling to 2.3% by year's end, from its current 2.5%, and to 2.1% by the end of 2025. And they now expect the unemployment rate to rise further this year to 4.4% from 4.2% now, and to remain there by the end of 2025. That's above their previous forecast of 4% by the end of this year and 4.2% for 2025. The Fed's next policy meeting is November 6th and 7th, immediately after the presidential election. By cutting rates this week, soon before the election, the Fed is risking attacks from Trump, who has argued that lowering rates now amounts to political interference. Yet Politico has reported that even some key state Republicans who were interviewed expressed support for a Fed rate cut this week. The central bank's officials fought against high inflation by raising their key rate 11 times in 2022 and 2023. Wage growth has since slowed, removing a potential source of inflationary pressure. And oil and gas prices are falling, a sign that inflation should continue to cool in the months ahead. Consumers are also pushing back against high prices, forcing such companies as Target and McDonald's to dangle deals and discounts. The Fed's decision Wednesday drew the first dissent from a member of its governing board since 2005, Michelle Bauman, a board member who has expressed concern in the past that inflation had not been fully defeated, said she would have preferred a quarter point rate cut. After several years of strong job growth, employers have slowed hiring, and the unemployment rate has risen nearly a 4 percentage point from its half-century low in April 2023 to a still low 4.2%. Once unemployment rises that much, it tends to keep climbing. Fed officials and now economists note, though, that the rise in unemployment this time largely reflects an influx of people seeking jobs, notably new immigrants and recent college graduates, rather than layoffs. At issue for the Fed is how fast it wants to lower its benchmark rate to a point where it's no longer acting as a brake on the economy, nor as an accelerant. Where the so-called neutral level falls isn't clear, though many analysts peg it at 3% to 3.5%. ECISD sets special meeting. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will have a special meeting at 6 p.m. September 19th in the boardroom of the Administration Building for Level 3 grievance hearings. There will be an opportunity for public comment as well. ECISD Trustees OK Tax Rate. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees approved a tax total tax rate of $1.014 per $100 valuation for the 2024-25 school year at their meeting Tuesday night. The tax rate is the same as last year. However, Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmers said it will be a 1.4% increase due to an increase in values. The maintenance and operations rate will be $0.7596 per $100 valuation and $0.2544 per $100 valuation for debt service. Taxable value has gone down for school districts because the exemptions have increased on properties, Otmer said. The average market value of a home was $202,000 last year and $220,000 this year, a 9% increase. However, the exemptions increased, so the taxable value of that average home is right under $86,000, Otmer said. Based on property values in July 2024, the total tax rate is at or below the voter approval rate, and therefore is equal to the maximum tax rate allowed under a tax rate election, the board recap said. The maintenance and operations tax rate is at or below the voter approval tax rate, and the debt service rate is at or below the allowable to cover bond costs. According to the recap, this tax rate will raise more taxes for maintenance and operations than last year's tax rate. The tax rate will effectively be raised to 1.4% and will raise taxes for maintenance and operations on a $100,000 home by approximately $15 for the year. However, Otmer said there aren't many $100,000 homes here. It's easier for people to think in terms of $100,000. Also, the recap said the Ector County Appraisal District calculates the proposed rate as less than the no new revenue tax rate. The state's template calculator shows the no new revenue rate to maintain to be lower $0.99971. On a separate item, it was announced that the district reached an 88% college, career, and military readiness rate, which plays a factor in state accountability ratings. The rate jumped 15 points from last year to earn an A. College, career, and military readiness is a measure that exists to ensure Texas students are prepared for life after high school. CCMR, for short, is a score given to each school district and each high school, and it makes up a large percentage of the school's TEA accountability rating, the board recap said. TEA defines college ready as meets Texas Success Initiative, TSI, criteria. This includes SAT and ACT, earns dual course credit, meets criteria on AP IB exams, or earns an associate's degree. TEA defines career ready as earns an industry-based certificate, graduates with a complete IEP and workforce readiness, graduates with an advanced diploma plan and received special education services, or earns a level 1 or 2 certificate. TEA defines military ready as enlist in the U.S. Armed Forces, Texas National Guard. Since 2020, ECISD's CCMR score has increased from 58% to 63% to 65% to 75% last year. Just released publicly, ECISD's 2024 CCMR score is 88%, which well outpaces the state score of 76. A score of 88% earns ECISD an A grade for college, career, and military readiness. A quick note, this is a lagging indicator, meaning the 2024 accountability scores include the CCMR class number for the class 2023. We are on fire and we are unstoppable, Associate Superintendent of Student and School Support Alicia Siverson said. Trustee Wayne Woodall said the college, career, and military readiness rate matters more than any STAR test. In other business, in July 2021, ECISD entered a partnership with Acceleration Academies to provide a high-quality and high-impact program targeting dropout prevention and recovery of students under 21 years of age. To date, 159 students have graduated through Ector Acceleration Academies with an estimated economic boost of $87.75 million when considering their increase in lifetime potential earnings as a high school graduate and societal cost savings. The vast majority of those students, 85%, are ages 17, 18 or 19. The agreement, with a few minor amendments, is set to be renewed for a 2-year term. In the public comments section, two students spoke about the benefits of Ector Acceleration Academies. Jackie Atchison said he was not a bad kid. He got hurt and was wheelchair-bound for a time, and it put him in a bad frame of mind. He dropped out, but Ector Acceleration Academies, EAA, gave him a flexible alternative and helped him mature and graduate. He said he now attends UTPB and is majoring in pre-med. Jonathan Cox said he felt like he was trying hard but couldn't pass his classes, so he dropped out. He gave EAA time to figure things out at his own pace with individual attention. Trustees voted 7-0 to approve purchases over $50,000 related to the bond. On the list this month are $25 million to Accurate Air Solutions and the Bosworth Company for HVAC. For Priority 1 and Priority 2 HVAC projects, $25 million for Bluefin LLC and PBK for replacement and roof repair projects as they relate to Priority 1 and Priority 2 roofing issues, and $2.75 million for Agnew Associates Incorporated for electrical code upgrades and specifications for main distribution panel replacements, plumbing inspections, drawings, and code upgrades, and mechanical specifications for HVAC and pump sizing. In opening comments, Interim Superintendent Keely Boyer announced the Mexican American School Board Association at its annual conference last week, presented ECISD with its Award for Outstanding Workforce Development Initiative and Outstanding Special Education Initiative. Additionally, Yaratzi Barrera Alpizco, a junior at Permian High School, won first place in the conference's student artwork exhibit. The two awards and Yaratzi's artwork were on display in the boardroom. ECISD earns A for college, career, and military readiness. ECISD leaders announced Tuesday night the school district has earned a college, career, and military readiness CCMR score of 88%, a 15-point jump from last year and 12 points higher than the state score. The 88 equals an A. Since 2020, ECISD's CCMR score has increased each year from 58% to 63%, to 65%, to 73%, and now 88%, a news release said. College, career, and military readiness is a measure that exists to ensure Texas students are prepared for life after high school. Each high school and each school district earns a CCMR score and is making up a large percentage of the school's TEA accountability rating. Improving our CCMR score is one of our school board's goals and has been a priority for us, said ECISD Interim Superintendent Keely Boyer. A lot of people have worked tirelessly to make sure we are tracking students as early as ninth grade to keep them on pace to earn their CCMR score. I am extremely proud of their work and the work of our teachers and our students. TEA defines college readiness as meets Texas Success Initiative, TSI criteria. This includes SAT and ACT, earns dual credit courses, meets criteria on IB exams, or earns an associate's degree. TEA defines career ready as earns an industry-based certificate, graduates with a completed individualized education program, IEP, and workforce readiness, graduates with an advanced diploma plan and received special education services, or earns a level 1 or 2 certificate. TEA defines military readiness as enlists in the U.S. Armed Forces, Texas National Guard. CCMR is a lagging indicator, meaning the 2024 accountability score includes the CCMR number of the class of 2023. Obituaries. Carl Van Cleve obituary. Carl Lee Van Cleve, 72, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, September 12th. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, September 19th at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be at 10 a.m. Friday, September 20th at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. David Michael Sprohar. David M. Sprohar, 72 years old, passed away in his home on September 12th in Brownwood, Texas. David was born in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, to Naomi Clendening and John Sprohar on April 4th, 1952. He was a veteran and served in the Marines. Services will be held graveside at Ector County Cemetery on September 27th at 10 a.m. Fabian Kane Navarro, 17, of Odessa, died Wednesday, September 11th in Odessa. Graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. September 18th at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Kelly Eugene K.K. Kesey. Eugene K.K. Kesey, 66, died Saturday, September 14th in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Garden and Funeral Home of Odessa. Dennis Michael DeChant. Dennis Michael DeChant, 72, of Odessa, died Wednesday, September 4th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. September 20th at Manya of the World Ministries, 1312 South Jackson in Midland. Arrangements are by American Heritage Crematory Cemetery Funeral Home. Lona Sharon Carter. Lona Sharon Carter, 74, of Odessa, died Saturday, September 14th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 3 p.m. September 20th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Pastor Chris Hager is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home of Odessa. Grand Companions sets adoption events. Grand Companions has scheduled pet adoption events Saturday and Sunday in Midland. On Saturday, September 21st, Grand Companions is going to be out in the community with some adoptable animals from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at PetSmart, 4206 Loop 250 Frontage Road, Midland. Add a furry friend to your family or just come out to pet some cute pups. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday, September 22nd, Grand Companions will be at Tractor Supply, 6403 State Highway 349C Loop in Midland. You may just find your next Grand Companion. For 35 years, Grand Companions has been a beacon of hope for homeless pets across West Texas. Their mission is to save, shelter, and honor pets as they find their way to living homes. With locations in both Fort Stockton and Midland, Grand Companions has helped countless adopters find the perfect pet and is proud to be a resource in the communities they serve. Man arrested in shooting. A 33-year-old Odessa man was arrested September 12th after authorities said he shot another man four times. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report released Wednesday, deputies were dispatched to a disturbance at 2780 Farm to Market 866 around 5 p.m. September 11th. When deputies arrived, they found Victor Gomez, 33, with a gun, and he told them he'd followed his former girlfriend to the home and got into a fight with a 36-year-old man, the report stated. Gomez said the other man had a knife during the fight, and after the fight ended, he went to his vehicle, reparked his vehicle outside the yard, loaded his gun, and shot the other man four times, the report stated. According to the report, Gomez's former girlfriend drove the older man to Medical Center Hospital before deputies arrived. Gomez was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and was released September 13th after posting a $50,000 surety bond. OC celebrates accountability report. Odessa College celebrated strides it has made in enrollment, number of certificates and degrees awarded, and other milestones during a news conference Wednesday in the community room of the Wood Health Sciences building. Their accomplishments are in the accountability report that the state of Texas publishes every year. According to the Texas Association of Community Colleges website, House Bill 8, passed in 2023, established a funding model based on performance tied to specific student outcomes. A shorter version of the report was presented at the August board meeting, and a video of what's in store for Vision 2030 Plus was shown at the end of the news conference. This replaces a funding model based on the number of courses and credit hours, the site said. Instead of competing against one another for state dollars, each community college is now challenging itself to earn additional funding by educating more students and awarding credentials of value that align with Texas's workforce needs today and tomorrow, the site detailed. The accountability report was developed to help the state to measure institutions and their effectiveness in meeting the state's strategic goals for higher education. Today's report comes from the 2023 report that was published last year and focuses on data metrics that have been used to support the performance-based funding that the state now uses for House Bill 8. Odessa College Chief of Staff Robert Riveras said, "The data is in the report is from before 2023. So, for example, OC has not yet reported its graduation numbers for 2023-24. Those will show up in the 2025 accountability report," Rivas said. To give a sense of scale, the 2023 accountability report showed about 1,900 students receiving credentials here at Odessa College. Last year, over 2,500 students received credentials, so we're growing like crazy. The numbers that you'll see for enrollment in the next accountability report will be greater. I anticipate from the last accountability report that showed about 8,600 students enrolled in the fall semester, we will have probably 1,000 more students, if not more, enrolled in the fall semester this fall, Rivas said. Rivas said he thinks part of OC's success comes from the work their faculty does in the classroom. Over 10 years ago, our faculty adopted the Drop Rate Improvement Program, which focuses on creating relationships with students and keeping them in class, Rivas said. That has translated to more students completing. That has translated to more students succeeding. That has translated to more students completing degrees and certificates. I think that really the relationships matter. The focus on every single student matters, and the focus of attracting students in different ways. We know that students have a lot of opportunities here in the Permian Basin. The lure of the workforce is great. The money to be made is great. Often it's easy to think that going to college isn't necessary, and I think we have been very intentional about outreaching to students in any way that we can to get them to try college and to stay with college, Rivas said. OC reported 4,275 students enrolled in dual credit. These are high school students enrolled in college classes. This is an 8.9% increase from 2021. The state average was 3%. We are going into high schools. We are going into middle schools. We are going into elementary schools. We're doing everything we can to convince the people in our community that college can be free, college can be accessible, and college can be for them, Rivas said. I think it's an interesting dynamic. Traditionally, the model would tell you that unemployment is high. When it is high, college enrollment goes up, and when unemployment is low, college enrollments go down. That's what you'll see across the country and in the history of our college. That's something you would have seen years before. I think that has shifted. Something has shifted at Odessa College where you can put those lines together and say, what does unemployment look like versus enrollment? Even though unemployment is so low in the Permian Basin right now, enrollment is at the highest it has ever been at Odessa College. I think it comes from us really focusing on how we make college accessible and affordable to our students. The dropout rate improvement program is built on the idea of making individual connections with students. Students want to be seen. Students want to be heard. Students want to be addressed by their name. All of us want that, and the dropout improvement program creates a platform for our faculty to support our students and connect with our students in that way. We saw immediately when we implemented the drop rate improvement program back in 2011 that our drop rates just plummeted. They went from being over 10% to being single digits in one semester. Every single faculty that has tried the drop rate improvement program has seen improvement in the course completion rates, meaning the students who make it to the end of the class. At this point, less than 3% of students that start classes at Odessa College drop the classes, and over 85% of the students that take classes at Odessa College got a C or better. I think one of the great things that the state of Texas has done with the new strategic plan that came out in 2022 called Building a Talent Strong Texas is focusing on preparing citizens of Texas with credentials of value, value meaning credentials that are going to get them jobs, that provide family sustaining wages. I think that as we move through the pandemic, we saw a lot of people looking to community colleges, Odessa College included, to reskill or upskill to create more training opportunities and more learning opportunities that translate into more work opportunities for them. At Odessa College, we have so many different ways for students to achieve those credentials of value. In just 5 weeks, you can go through our professional truck driver program and get a CDL license. We know that in the Permian Basin, a CDL is a very valuable credential. So even though we see low unemployment, we're seeing people come for not just the short-term credentials and training, but the long-term credentials so they can create more earning opportunities for them and their families in the future, Rivas said. Pregnancy leads to sexual assault charge. A 20-year-old Odessa man was arrested on suspicion of sexual assault of a child family violence Tuesday. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Child Protective Services informed officers about a pregnant 16-year-old girl, and when they interviewed the girl, she said she'd been in a romantic and sexual relationship with Kyle Nicholas Chitty since October 2023. Chitty, too, confirmed the relationship and said they'd been intimate since January 2024, the report stated. He was booked into the Ector County Jail on a $100,000 surety bond.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for September 14, 2024. Thompson wants second term on council, by Kim Smith, OA News at OAOA.com. Odessa's District 2 Councilman Steve Thompson said that despite the fact that last 4 years have been highly controversial, he has some reasons to be proud and he's running again because he wants to see some other things through. There's so much work to be done and I've got the time, Thompson said. You know, this is home. I was born and raised here, and I make a good living here for my family, and this is just a way to give back. As contentious as a lot of it has been, there have been moments I've been very proud of, he said. Thompson said he is especially proud the city's water treatment plant is well on its way to being completely rehabilitated. In August 2021, he, Tom Sprawls, Detra White, Mary Willis, Mark Mata, and Denise Swenner outvoted Mayor Javier Hoven to approve the use of a certificates of obligation bond to pay for a $95 million major rehabilitation of the plant. Swenner and Mata and Hoven in June 2021 voted against the CO, saying they wanted the issue to go to voters. That year, the local GOP attempted to force a vote by Odessans on the matter, but didn't meet the required signature threshold. City administrators had said the 60-year-old plant was in dire need of repairs and upgrading and warned the system could fail at any time, potentially leaving thousands of Odessans without water. Oh, it's beautiful, Thompson said. It's getting real, real close. Thompson will face political newcomer Nayeli Urias in November for the District 2 seat. Thompson is also proud of the work he has done to get a $70 million sports complex built in Odessa. His good friend Larry Bell agreed to donate 100 acres of land worth $5 million to the project, and a memorandum of understanding was scheduled to be signed Friday afternoon. Once completed, the complex will be 140,000 square feet with 30 pickleball courts, 20 volleyball courts, 10 hardwood courts, a portable 200-meter banked completion competition track, fitness centers, conference rooms, offices, and concession area, a cafe and retailer. In addition, outside there will be 12 fields for soccer, football, and lacrosse, and up to 8 softball and blade. And up to 8 ball. Football and lacrosse, and up to 8 softball and baseball fields. There are also plans for athletic training and physical therapy. After Sprawls, White and Willis opted not to run for re-election in 2021 and were replaced, Thompson often found himself on the losing side on several key votes. For example, he voted against the December 2021 firings of city manager Michael Marrero and city attorney Natasha Brooks. Those findings, Thompson said, directly led to a significant number of department heads retiring or leaving the city. It's because the finance department was decimated that the city lost its bond ratings with S&P and Moody's earlier this year, Thompson said. Still, the city has replaced many of the department heads with good people who are helping the city address serious issues such as broken down trash trucks and aging water valves and water lines, he said. Thompson said he didn't want to blame previous councils or administrators for any of the issues the city is currently facing, preferring to focus on the positives. The city is now steadily replacing the trash trucks, and city manager John Beckmeyer has allocated $25 million to replace the water valves and water lines, he said. Beckmeyer has said $20 million of those funds were sitting in an account set up for Beckmeyer said that $20 million of those funds were sitting in an account set up after Pioneer Natural Resources agreed to buy wastewater from the city. I think we're moving in the right direction. That's moving in the right direction, finally, Thompson said. In addition, he, Beckmeyer, and Representative Brooks Landgraf have met with the Texas Water Development Board to see about obtaining state funds to assist the city, Thompson said. Thompson actually voted against hiring Beckmeyer to replace Marrero, but he said he's been pleasantly surprised by the job Beckmeyer has done. He said a recent article by Odessa Headlines publisher Jeff Russell accusing Beckmeyer of using city resources to further his own agenda was just a case of sour grapes. In fact, Thompson said the removal of Russell and Chris Crow from the Odessa Development Corporation was huge. They were a huge obstruction because they thought they knew more than what the law says, Thompson said. The two men were using their positions for their own political gain, he said. They lost sight of the fact they work at the pleasure of the city council, and that's what they found out. The city council had enough of it because they were saying, we can't do this, we can't do, and they made Mr. Bell do an industrial district, which never had to happen. They took it upon themselves to do that, Thompson said. As a result of their removal, Thompson said the city will be able to use sales tax revenue shared with the ODC to address some of the city's infrastructure needs. Moving forward, I'll be working on getting some of these dadgum roads done, Thompson said. That's my number one priority and one of the reasons I'm continuing to run for the city council. It's imperative that the city starts to be proactive when it comes to roads instead of reactionary because of growth, Thompson said. He wants to see UConn become a five-lane road, and road improvements need to be done near the future Bass Pro Shop.
Florida hospitals ask immigrants about their legal status. Texas will try it next. For 3 days, the staff of an Orlando medical clinic encouraged a woman with abdominal pain who called the triage line to go to the hospital. She resisted, scared of a 2023 Florida law that required hospitals to ask whether a patient was in the U.S. with legal permission. The clinic had worked hard to explain the limits of the law, which was part of Governor Ron DeSantis's sweeping package of tighter immigration policies. The clinic posted signs and counseled patients. They could decline to answer the question and still receive care. Individual identifying information wouldn't be reported to the state. We tried to explain this again and again and again, but the fear was real, Grace Medical Home CEO Stephanie Garris said, adding the woman finally did go to an emergency room for treatment. Texas will be the next to try a similar law for hospitals enrolled in state health plans, Medicaid, and the Children's Health Insurance Program. It takes effect November 1st, just before the end of a presidential election in which immigration is a key topic. Texans should not have to shoulder the burden of financially supporting medical care for illegal immigrants, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott said in a statement announcing his mandate, which differs from Florida's in that providers don't have to tell patients their status won't be shared with authorities. Both states have high numbers of immigrants, ranging from people who are in the U.S. without legal permission to people who have pending asylum cases or are part of a mixed-status family. And while the medically uninsured rate in these two states, neither of which have expanded Medicaid, are higher than the national average, research has shown immigrants tend to use less and spend less on health care. Texas and Florida have a long history of challenging the federal government's immigration policies by passing their own, and their Republican leaders say the hospital laws counter what they see as lax enforcement at the border by the Biden administration, though Florida's earlier data is by its own admission limited. Florida GOP State Senator Bayes Ingoglia, who sponsored the hospital bill, said in a written statement that the law is the strongest and most comprehensive state-led anti-illegal immigration law, but did not respond to the Associated Press question about the impact of the law on the immigration community or on hospital patients. Luis Isilla, an internal medical doctor with patients in hospitals and clinics in Central Florida, said the law is creating that extra barrier for patients who are already exposed to many disparities. Immigrant advocate groups in Florida said they sent thousands of text messages and emails and health clinics to help people understand the limitations of the law, including that law enforcement agencies wouldn't know an individual status because the data would be reported in aggregate. But many outreach calls from health workers went unanswered. Some patients said they were leaving Florida as a result of the law's impact on getting health care and on employment. The DeSantis administration tied the hospital's mandate to other initiatives that invalidated some driver's licenses, criminalized transportation of migrants lacking permanent status, and changed employment verification policies. Others, advocates say, languished in pain or needed to be persuaded. Veronica Roberto, program director of the Rural Women's Health Project in Central Florida, fielded a call before the law took effect in July 2023 from a young woman who didn't have legal permission to be in the U.S. and was afraid she would be separated from her child if she gave birth at the hospital. She was very afraid, but she did end up going after speaking with me, Roberto said. Whatever data Florida and Texas do collect likely will be unreliable for several reasons, researchers suggested. Health economist Paul Keckley said the report released in Florida state officials could have incomplete or inaccurate or misleading data. For one, it's self-reported. Anyone can decline to answer, an option chosen by nearly 8% of people admitted to the hospital and about 7% of people who went to the emergency room from June to December 2023. The Florida State report said fewer than 1% of people who went to the emergency room or were admitted to the hospital reported being in the U.S. illegally. The Florida Agency for Healthcare Administration acknowledged large limitations in their analysis, saying it didn't know how much of the care provided to illegal aliens went unpaid. It also said it was unable to link high levels of uncompensated care with a level of illegal aliens coming to the hospital, saying it's more associated with rural county status than illegal immigration percentages. The agency didn't immediately respond to requests for comment and more information. Its report noted that for much of the last decade, the amount of unpaid bills and uncollected debts held by Florida hospitals was declined. In Florida and in Texas, people who aren't in the U.S. legally can't enroll in Medicaid, which provides health insurance for low-income people, except in the case of a medical emergency. Multiple factors can affect the cost of care for people who are in the U.S. without legal permission, experts said, especially the lack of preventative care. That's especially true for people who have progressive diseases like cancer, said Dr. James W. Castillo II. The health authority for Cameron County, Texas, which has about 22% of the population uninsured compared to the state's average of 16.6%. At that point, he said, it usually is much harder to treat, much more expensive to treat. Texas community groups, policymakers, and immigration attorneys are partnering with Every Texan, a nonprofit focusing on public policy and health care access, to encourage people to not answer the status question, said Lynn Cowles with Every Texan. And in Florida, the deportation fears are subsiding, but questions about the purpose of the law remain. How much of this is a substantive policy and good policy versus how that fared? I leave that to others to speculate, said Garris with the Orlando Clinic. But I know the practical effect of the law was egregious and demeaning to patients who are living here, working here. It's just insulting. Woman facing sexual assault charge. A 30-year-old Odessa woman was arrested Friday after she confessed to having two sexual encounters with a 16-year-old boy. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a 47-year-old resident of Bluebird Street told officers he had set up motion sensors all over his residence because he suspected something wasn't right, and he received an alert on his phone Friday from his bedroom. The man said he returned home from work and found his son in bed with Fabiola Morales, the report stated. The boy told officers and then a forensic interviewer he'd had sex with Morales twice, once at the beginning of the summer and again at the beginning of August, the report stated. According to the report, Morales told police the boy's father was making up lies, but when she was told that the boy said he'd admitted the encounters, Morales was arrested on suspicion of sexual assault of a child, a second-degree felony, and booked into the Ector County Jail with a surety bond of $35,000. She was released Saturday.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.